If you would like to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 58, we will go into his word and hear what the Lord has to say to us there. Isaiah chapter 58. Again, Heavenly Father, because this is from you, how we need you. We need you to stir our hearts, not just our intellects, but our wills. Oh, Lord, come. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak through your vital word, we pray. A couple of decades ago, a man was arrested and put under house arrest in Hamilton, Ontario, for passing himself off as a doctor. Stephen Chung, age 64, had submitted more than $4 million worth of invoices to Ontario Health. But the College of Physicians and Surgeons found out that his degree was fake. And so he was charged with fraud. Stephen Chung had many people who loved him as their doctor. 189 people wrote testimonials on his behalf, saying things like, in one case, "He was and still is one of the best family physicians I've ever had." The judge, in his sentencing, noted that Chung was not motivated by greed, but that he'd always wanted to be a doctor. In fact, he had taken many medical courses, and he had gone to seminars. He'd passed exams along the way, but he wasn't a doctor. The judge gave him a conditional sentence of 18 months and ordered him to pay restitution of $482,000. Sometimes, I guess, phoniness can really look good. The people of Judah, I think unintentionally, had engaged in a kind of religious fraud. And in Isaiah 58, God speaks to them about this loudly and clearly. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 1. This is the beginning. Shout with the voice of a trumpet voice. Tell my people Israel to their seats. Come to the temple of the Lord and see the glory of the Lord. It's not like righteousness. Your salvation will be common to the Lord. Your God will be with you.
one of the religious practices starts with the voice of the trumpet. And God spoke to them. Now the people of Israel have six trumpets. I'm not Thank you.
striving against the unjust machine. No, this is the time to fast in our hearts. Free those who are wrongly imposing blight on the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Real fasting can be real, religious experience, includes addressing social problems and creating stability in people. In this context, it most likely has a lot to do with how they treated their fellow Hebrews who worked for them. They could perhaps be poor and become indentured slaves to their fellow citizens because they couldn't pay the bills. And so there was ownership that was treated something less than human. And breaking chains refers to bringing people up to new levels that are going to be treated like the oppressed go free. One continually relevant application of this in our country is to speak out against human trafficking, which is a problem that if you are here, blood has stayed in the blood of the world, invisible chains. Invisible chains could be the opposite. That would be the reason. But slavery, that could be the reason. And if you also have it would be helpful. There's a great website called defendunity.ca that is connected to a national racist center website. So go to the lines today, that you'll find out how to defend just defendunity.ca, helping people be free of sex, slavery, trafficking, etc. That's what I'm most of the problem is just the way we treat people at work. Or people that work for us in the same market with dignity. Christ has stopped on that Christian talk about working with purpose. I mean, right too often, the workplace comes across like this to you. You're expendable. We don't want to find you, but we will have to. If we will, we have to. Business brutal. So we must redesign the way we work to do more with less. Sorry, that's just the way it is. And one more thing, you're invaluable. Your devotion to our customers is the salvation of this company. We're depending on you to be innovative, risk-taking, and committed to our goals. Okay. Time to start saying this. We are to approach things with this scripture. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. But the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the unpresentable parts are no special treatment. When you have influence for God in your workplace, in your society, use it. It might seem like ministry will influence, but use it anyway. Sometimes just asking a question, why do we do it that way? Is instrumental and makes a difference. The justice items here in Isaiah 56 are long term big picture. Then in verse 7, it establishes a real day to day needs. I'm not to drive them right, but strive for justice. Strive to meet basic needs. It says, share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. But do not hide from relatives who need your help. But when you get so spiritually minded, then you worship them. Hear me out. It's good to be spiritually minded, isn't it? God's a heart of God, my heart, my soul, my mind. That's good. But become so focused on worship, our fasting, our pilgrims, our ministries, we neglect the people who are the worst things that people face. We don't want things that people face. Jesus confronted religious leaders who wouldn't take care of the aged and parents because they said, well, the money we would have helped you with, we're giving that at the temple. And he said, so you ignore the law of God, which is only your father and your mother. You ignore that with your tradition about what
you're going to give to people. Striving to meet basic needs isn't always easy, but you're not going to do it, is it? How many times have you been asked for a handout by someone on the street or someone standing at an intersection with a sign? And what do you do? How do you deal with that? This is not easy. Spent time in life, lived on the streets. You sit down $5 to $10 and give cards for fast food restaurants. And give those away because having been in the PD, that people were less likely to sell or fix something like the drugs they were being used. If it gets sick, or locally, the Salvation Army, as a good work that we helped with, we gave to them monthly as a church. Last week at the service in the park, in the church service, the offering was the Salvation Army, and they took in $2,200 for the ministries. That's good. But I asked Captain Andrew Holden, what else could we do? As we wrote back this, anyone would be welcome to stop in and just fellowship with our guests, over coffee or lunch. We have coffee and snacks every morning, starting at 9. Coffee and snacks at 9. Lunch is at noon, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's very crowded Tuesday and Thursday with the food menu, and conversation can be difficult, especially Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Anyone is welcome. It wouldn't need to plan ahead of us. Just drop in. I think it could be a blessing for everyone to stay present in Christ's presence. See, as a congregation, this word picture in my mind, it says we are really more like and need to be more like a fleet of four-wheel drive trucks going wherever the need is in our community and work. Where we rally in schools and neighborhoods. And you do that, you have these outlets in your lives rather than a train on one track. We're not the fleet of four-wheel drives. Maybe that's the next one. Trucks, not trains. I don't think you're going to catch on. But think in terms of your life, your family, your small group, your tribe, where are you at? I don't know why they can go away. The rest of us can't, for example, because you have that. And the tears to give them. That's the word to die to. He cares about this. If you want to be sure you're out of the religious rut, be kind to someone who has less than you. God will hear loud and clear. The Lord says to these people who were driving in a religious rut that when they started to strive for justice, he would hear them loudly. All of the fasting and the mourning and the people acting, all of that did not be his attention. He's very clear, but he says this. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from the hunger. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. The commentator Matthew expands on this word picture. He says, this spiritual light, this moral spiritual light is like something blinding that opens people's eyes to see truth. And as a result, salvation comes like the dawn. It's like a new beginning. It's refreshing. It's revival. It's new spiritual life. And they experience then personal restoration and healing because they see people around them and then security, righteousness before them and glory behind them. Fourth, free, flowing fellowship with the Lord himself. And when they call on him, they might say, hey, we fasted, we did our part, now where's our stuff? He said, I'm right here. I've got you, guys. I'm right here. See, again, the people of Judah experienced the past. religious life to the point where he could not justice. If you want to join me in the covenant, become someone who's got less seed, and who's struggling with the realities of life. I know that it has its own effort, it's a great one. But people seem to go with the way he knows. There's no way around it that he has. But spiritual renewal is not just a religious life. It's not just a great worship service. It's not really you saying, nailed it to the head. And then you can feel so good. That's what you want to do. But God says, this is just about you. God is here. Gary Thomas shares that before he went to speak at a church retreat, he received a number of letters that seemed high expectations for the event. So when he got there, he started his first talk this way. He said, it would be very easy to manipulate the mountaintop experience over the course of this weekend. Working with the worship leader, setting the right schedule, having a carefully coordinated preaching progression, we could create a spiritual high if we wanted to. But after praying rather substantially about this weekend, I became convinced that I am not here to offer you a mind blowing date with God. I want us to talk about how to be married to you, about how through the ups and downs and the routine of we can learn to spend time with God, enjoy Him, and be conformed to His will. Anybody can date God, the truly true, seek to be His faithful, lifelong companions. What are we driving at? What are we driving at as a church? What are we driving at? What are we driving at? Thinking that it's very silent. We don't intentionally seek words. Yet help us. Help us today to find a journey that God has called to us. Living where we're in that